And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Welcome to another edition of the Awakening Podcast here on American Family Radio. I'm your host, of course, Bishop E.W. Jackson. It is great to be with you. And folks, I cannot begin to say how overwhelmingly joyful I am. You know, we had a candidate running talking about joy, and there was no joy. It was all wickedness and sorrow and sadness over the prospect of that person becoming president. But leaving that aside, there is real joy. The Bible says when the righteous are in authority, the people what? Rejoice. And we are rejoicing. And, you know, let me just, before I get to some of the specifics about the inauguration and about President Trump's first few hours now in office, first day really in office, let me just say, folks, I am truly moved. I really am. I was watching him on television and seeing some of the moments, and it could almost bring tears of joy to your eyes. All these people running around with their hair on fire, talking about dictator this and all, these people are just nuts. They really are. I see a president in office now who loves this country, truly loves and cares about the American people, and really just wants to see the best for our country, and is going to work day and night over the next 4 years to try to make sure that he delivers the very best for the American people. And it is a time of great joy to me. These people running around talking all this other crazy stuff, I just feel sorry for them. I really do, because they are so delusional. They are so out of touch with reality, but my heart is filled with joy. I said, look, the only way I could have more joy than I have now over the outcome of this election is if I had been elected president. that of course is completely out of the question, but I'll tell you, that's the only thing I can think of that would have me more joyful than I am right now. And I'm not even sure it'd be more joyful. Because I tell you, I am elated. I am elated. I was elated when the election was won. I think I may be even more elated now that President Donald J. Trump is the 47th president of the United States. And as I've said many times, folks, I have friends who are close to him, who know him well, and work more closely with him than I ever have. I do not know him. And I had people encourage me to try to get a spot in the administration. And, you know, and I, my first reaction was, because, of course, I'm always willing to serve my country. My first reaction was, you know, that might not be a bad idea. But, you know, as I thought about it, I realized that's probably not for me, because I am my own man. I'm an independent thinker. And I really do want to be in a position to say when I don't agree with the president, or say when I think his policy is not the very best there. I want to have that feel that kind of independence. And if I took a position, an appointment from the president, of course, you can't do that. And rightly so. You shouldn't be doing that. You should be supporting wholly the president's policies on every level. And when there's something happens, as I'm sure people in the administration, there'll be things that he might say or positions he might take that somebody in the administration may not agree with. And your job is to shut up. You don't speak against your boss. You don't come against him. As a civilian, I can voice my opinion no matter where it leads, without any concern that I'm being disloyal to my boss or disloyal to my commander in chief. But right now, I'm not even thinking about any of that right now. I'm just thinking about What a great moment this is. It really is. It is a great moment. And you know, it's interesting. I heard a reporter ask Donald Trump in the Oval Office about all the big tech people who are now sort of seem to be on board. Of course, I don't trust them as far as I would can throw them, but who now seem to be on board, and they were at the inauguration, and they're, you know, sitting with Trump, talking to him, and on the dais at times, and they could be seen, you know, Mark Zuckerberg, Jeff Bezos. I always forget the name of the guy who runs Google, but you know who he is. He's an Indian guy. And who else was up there? But you know, yeah, they're basically all on board. I tell you what, I didn't see Bill Gates. But they're all on board now. And I'm not sure what that means, but they were asking Donald Trump, they're saying, now, you know, what do you think about these, you know, big tech CEOs now with you? And Trump said, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but this is in a sense what he said. Well, you know, they were all with Joe Biden. He said, now they're all with me. He said, and I'm not sure what that means. He said, but I don't need any money. That's what he said. I don't need any money. And I want to make America great again. And, you know, and then he went on to say something like, you know, if they can help me do that and they can be a part of that, you know, great. But he made that statement. I don't need any money. And it was interesting because Joe Biden, apparently his entire career has been maneuvering and manipulating to get his hands on every dollar he could find. Unlike Trump, who is an independent businessman who has made his money in development and real estate, Joe Biden's family has never built anything, created anything, invented anything, produced anything, manufactured anything. All of their money has been made exploiting their political positions, allowing people to buy access. Said Hunter Biden was nothing but Joe Biden's bagman. And Joe Biden wanted it that way. And everybody understood that that's how the family is going to get and keep wealth. Everybody understood that. Donald Trump made clear, that's not me. I don't need these people around me because I'm looking for money. And I thought, man, I loved hearing it. Because we've had Joe Biden doing exactly the opposite. So that as he leaves office, we don't know who bought him. Did George Soros buy him? Did communist China buy him? Did Ukraine buy him? I mean, or did they all buy him? Because he and his family were clearly for sale. And Donald Trump was making clear with that statement, I am not for sale. I am not for sale. Now, the reality is, when you have integrity, it doesn't matter whether you're a billionaire or not. You shouldn't be for sale. But Joe Biden was so busy trying to keep his hands in the till that he was willing, in my view, to sell us out to almost anybody under any circumstances. So thank God that Donald Trump is in office. We have a president who is not in it for himself and for what he can get out of it, who doesn't need his children to run around hat in hand to the foreign countries of the world asking for them to cut deals, behind the scene deals, so that he can be enriched. He doesn't need to do any of that. He can deal with these countries at arm's length and say, this is the way it is, and speak in behalf of the interests of the American people, and they can like it or lump it because they don't have anything that they can use to try to buy Donald Trump's favor. Glory to God. You know, the Bible says when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, and I don't believe that means when the perfect are in authority, because then we would never rejoice. It means when the people are in authority who want to lead in a righteous direction, the people rejoice. And that's why we're all rejoicing now. Because Donald Trump, I really believe, wants to lead this nation in a righteous direction. And that is why I am so enthusiastic about him and so committed to seeing his presidency once again lead the nation. So Biden, of course, as you all know, pardoned Hunter, had already done that, but he pardoned his entire family, or at least key members of his family. And to me, I said this a long time ago, the Biden family is a family of crooks. And to me, he just proved it. He just proved it. For all the illegalities they engaged in, he has pardoned them, not only to save them from potential prosecution, should a real prosecutor, a real attorney general, a real U.S. attorney begin to look at their dealings and find criminal liability, should that happen, Joe Biden is not only shielding them from prosecution, but shielding himself. You know, in the world of gangsters, they kill the witnesses. But in the world of presidential politics, you can simply pardon them. So that they have no reason to talk because they simply cannot be cornered by law enforcement and threatened with prosecution. So the family of crooks fades off into the sunset. Goodbye, good riddance. And if he thinks that historians, well, lying leftist historians probably will, but any historian worth a salt is going to lionize Joe Biden or say what a wonderful president he was. I mean, I think somebody actually said they thought, well, maybe he said, I don't think he said going this far, but somebody said Joe Biden's going to go down as one of the greatest presidents in our history. I mean, you are ready for the loony farm if you believe that. I really, because that is so far from the truth that you just have to wonder about a person who would say that. Either that person is just a rank liar, or that person is deeply, deeply delusional and out of touch with reality. So he didn't lose any time in the final hours of his presidency, propping himself up and protecting himself, because that's what he's been about all along. President Trump comes in, on the other hand, and what's the focus? The focus is on us. The focus is on the people. He's calling it, by the way, I said the era of the Great Restoration. Donald Trump is calling it the Golden Age of America. I'll take both. I like the Golden Age of America, because that certainly implies that his presidency is going to have impact beyond his next 4 years. He only gets four more years and he's off the political scene. But that implies that his presidency is going to have impact beyond the next 4 years. So he's already declared a national energy emergency so that he can begin to get these leases freed up, to get these drilling permits freed up. Remember, there's a little trick that Biden plays that all leftists have played it, which is you grant leases, but you don't grant the permits to drill. And the lease without the permit to drill is of no use whatsoever, because you can't get at the oil that's under the ground or the natural gas that's under the ground. And that's the game they play. We've issued more leases, but very few permits. Trump is declaring a national energy emergency, and I know that's going to lift a lot of the restrictions that Biden has put on us and begin to bring the cost of energy down. And when the cost of energy comes down, inflation is coming down, folks. Because energy is the major driver of inflation. Because when the cost of transportation goes up, the cost of everything goes up. Everything. He's invoked the Alien Enemies Act, which is going to give him the ability to use the military if necessary to defend our borders. Remember something. Biden has allowed 700,000 people into this country who have been convicted of crimes to roam the streets of our city. Many of them convicted and released from prison in their home country and then allowed to come here and just processed right on in. 700,000 gang members, drug dealers, human traffickers, violent criminals. 700,000. The president has invoked the Alien Enemies Act to facilitate the ability to get these people arrested and get them deported. Maybe that's the basis for summary deportment rather than this whole court process, which has proved to be a complete boondoggle, where you're giving people court dates 10 years out. I mean, that's ridiculous. So Donald Trump, as of today, Tom Holman has confirmed it. As of today, ICE is out there identifying, arresting, and deporting these criminal illegal aliens. As of today, they're not waiting at all. He said it's happening now as we speak. And by the way, they're going to have the ability to not only arrest the person who has committed crimes, but they're going to arrest the people who are harboring them or living with them or staying with them. That's it, folks. Yeah, that's right. That's right. You're staying with a criminal illegal alien. You're going with them. And so there'll be a lot more than that 700,000 rounded up once this really gets going. You could probably call it two or three times that. Praise God. President Trump has declared the cartels to be terrorist organizations. This is what I mean. You wonder, why in the world would that even be an issue? Of course they're terrorist organizations. They use terror and torture and the threat of murder and murder itself in order to advance their cause. That's what terrorist organizations do. Of course they're terrorist organizations, bringing fentanyl across our borders, trafficking babies, young boys and girls across our borders, sending guns across the border, all kinds of nefarious activity that is being engaged in by these cartels. And Joe Biden didn't want to declare them terrorist organizations. Maybe they're sending them royalty checks. They should. Because he has really been the architect of their greatest wealth, which is apparently no longer cocaine or secondarily marijuana, but is apparently now human trafficking. That's where the big money is. Folks, this is a travesty. And praise God, the person in office now is the right person to clean this mess up, and he's doing so immediately. No more catch and relief policy. You're not going to be caught at the border and released into the interior of our country. That's not going to happen anymore. No more coming into our country while you're waiting for an asylum here. No, you will wait in Mexico. And if they don't want you, you're going to wait back in your own home country. You're not coming into our country as somebody seeking asylum and living here while we wait to find out what's going on. President Trump has attempted, I don't think this is going to work, but I could be wrong. But he has attempted to block the anchor baby phenomenon with an executive order. Now, I say I don't think that's going to work because of the language of the 14th Amendment. I don't think it's going to work because of a case handed down by the Supreme Court in 1898, which declared a Chinese national who had a baby, a wife and a baby born. The baby was born in America. The Chinese national and his wife were Chinese citizens. The court declared that that baby was a was an American citizen because of the language of the 14th Amendment made clear that that was what the Founding Fathers intended. That is not what the Founding Fathers intended. That is not what they intended. The 14th Amendment was passed, the Section 1 of the 14th Amendment was passed to assure citizenship for Africans who had come here as slaves, to make sure that they understood they were Americans. And you got communists trying to exploit that and sending women over here willy-nilly on vacation jaunts where they can drop the baby while they're here and the baby automatically becomes an American citizen. And you take the baby back and you inculcate, indoctrinate that baby. It grows up committed to the communist worldview and you send him here as an American citizen. Now, this is madness, and it's got to stop. As I said, I've got a constitutional amendment we're going to propose anyway. And if President Trump's executive order stands, great. Here's the only problem, though. Remember, he's out of office 4 years from now. And whoever the Republican or the Democrat nominee is has to agree with that policy in order for it to stand. If they don't agree with it, they can do what Trump has just done, take out an executive order, nullify it, and cause it to be null and void. Folks, it's no way to run a railroad, but that's where we are. So that's the Alien Enemies Sedition Act, the Alien Enemies Sedition Act. I would highly recommend that you share this with your friends and your neighbors and let them know that we may need a constitutional amendment. We're going to support President Trump's effort to do it by executive order, but we may need a constitutional amendment to deal with this because this is about something that is enshrined in the Constitution of the United States. And I've heard conservatives, people on both sides, arguing that it does indeed apply to any baby born in America, whether that baby has parents who were born in America or not. It does indeed say that. I say there's one interpretation of it that says that. I don't believe that's what was intended. So regardless of whether that was intended or not, that's the way it's been used now since 1898. And now we've got to put a stop to it. And again, whether that's by executive order, which I think is impermanent at best, or by a constitutional amendment, which of course has permanence, we got to stop it. And I think that my way is the best way for doing that. Although I fully support Donald Trump writing an executive order that denies birthright citizenship to babies, neither of which has a parent that is an American citizen. A biological parent is an American citizen. And that would end it. You can come here and drop as many babies as you want. They're not Americans. In the end, you got to take them back home to wherever you came from. That's the way it ought to be. Because look, no nation can withstand a constant barrage of attacks and undermining and vilifying and just over and over and over and over and over and over again. The country just won't withstand it. A house divided against itself cannot stand. Didn't say it might not, would not, should not. Says it, Jesus said it cannot stand. It can't. And I know that you share my sentiment that I want America to stand. I want America to remain that shining city on a hill. I want America to be the land of the free and the home of the brave. I want America to be that nation to which people look as an example of what their country ought to look like if only we can have the resources to do it. I want people to see our country, as Abraham Lincoln said, the last best hope on earth. So let's make sure that we pray for and get with our representatives. This to me is a no-brainer. And tell them that we need the full authority to deport people who don't belong in this country, period. That doesn't make us xenophobic. That demonstrates that we have common sense. Okay. President Trump is going to address all this stuff, and he has begun in a vigorous way. I said he's declared a national energy emergency. Here's one of the other things he's done that the mainstream media probably won't talk much about because they don't want even people to know it. And that is that President Trump has taken the action of pardoning 1,500 J6 defendants. I say the mainstream media probably doesn't want to talk about it much. A, because what President Trump did is an admission to me that that was a protest turned to an incursion on federal property. It was not an offense punishable by 22 years in federal prison. And it was not an attempt to overthrow the country. It was not an insurrection. And President Trump has now recognized that officially by saying, I'm going to pardon all these J6 defendants. I'm going to pardon them all. I tell you, he shouldn't pardon that cop who shot Ashley Babbitt. He shouldn't pardon him. He needs to make sure he is answerable to somebody at some point. Well, he's going to be answerable to God if nobody else on this earth. But he ought to be made to answer on this earth for that kind of reckless behavior. And they want to put the protesters in jail. They're walking around looking at the White House and looking at the rotunda and just almost sightseeing, some of them. But oh, they're very dangerous people, you know. We got to lock them up for a long time. Hey, folks, it's enough to make your blood boil. It is just utterly ridiculous. Those people went there for a speech and a rally to suggest that there were shenanigans in the 2016 campaign and they needed to be looked at before a final count could be arrived at. I mean, really, it just boiled down to something just that simple. Just that simple. But oh, no, 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 no. No, these are insurrectionists. They've committed treason to the country, and we've got to lock them up and throw away the key. You got murderers. Trump pointed out, you got murderers walking around the streets. Speaking of Chicago, where you know, they're planning to, one of the cities they were planning to roll out their new program of getting these illegal aliens out of our country, the mayor there presided over all kinds of mayhem, destruction of property, burning down buildings, threatening people, you name it. How many of those people are in jail? Well, Kamala Harris was busy raising money to keep them out. And this guy has said to, in effect, Marxist, a Marxist view, people shouldn't be put in prison just because they committed crime. They only committed crime because they are deprived of the privileges of the society. And so they are forced to steal, to rob in order to reach their human potential or fulfill their human desires. Now, they may be doing it in a slightly wrong way, but nothing to see here. Don't take that seriously. Yeah, right. Nothing to see except dead bodies all over the place. from people who have been victimized by these criminals who roam the streets of our cities. Stan has chronicled 630 innocent children, most of them black, but it's a mixed group, but most of them are black, murdered in the streets of our cities since the Defund the Police movement began. As far as I'm concerned, all of this can be laid at the feet of Joe Biden. So thank God President Trump is taking some action to deal with this. And he's also said, oh, and I just love this. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He's also said, for purposes of our government, there are only two genders. Revelation, folks. Because that's exactly how many genders there are. Two. And Mark Zuckerberg is siding up to Donald Trump. I would remind him that there was a time when Facebook posted, I forget what the number was, 102 or, but genders they were talking about. And you could be punished by the website for not approaching people on the basis of their chosen gender and identity. Don't we have anything more important to do than that? I mean, don't we have anything more important to do than to run around policing people's pronouns? Bishop Jackson, we heard that you will not call Caitlyn Jenner Caitlyn. You will only call him Bruce. That's right. Well, you realize the implications for you because you're violating the law. Yeah, right, sure. I'm not violating God's law. I'm not violating natural law. That person is doing that. And everybody facilitating that and everybody putting their seal of approval on that is doing that. I'm not doing that. Period. I've got to answer Almighty God. We all do, but some just don't know it or don't care. I know it and I care. And I am not going to put myself in a position of standing before God and have God telling me, well, you embrace that sin. I'm not embracing it ever. Ever. When I got saved, I made up my mind that sin would no longer play a controlling aspect of my life. Now, that doesn't mean I can't sin, because I do. That doesn't mean I don't have bad thoughts. I do. I say things I shouldn't say. And believe it or not, there have been those occasions I've done something I had no business doing. But my life is now committed to righteousness, not sin. And so we need and have, thank God, an administration that is now going to be in sync with those of us who have chosen to dedicate our lives to righteousness, not to sin. Again, doesn't mean we don't sin, have never sinned, won't ever sin, can't sin, no. But it simply means that the trajectory of our lives is upward, not downward. Well, it's one of these issues that is just absolutely purely rooted and grounded in sin. And again, President Donald Trump has addressed this. No, he said, there are only two genders, male and female. Whew. Well, about time somebody said it, other than me and a few others, Riley Gaines and a few others. There are only two genders. Period. No men on women's sports teams, no men in women's locker rooms, no men in women's restrooms. And again, I know that's going to be challenged. That's going to be constitutionally challenged because Neil Gorsuch stabbed us all in the back when he wrote in the Gostock opinion in 2015, that 1964 Civil Rights Act, the word sex means gender identity. Now, in 1964, we hadn't even heard the term gender identity. And you can tell me people writing a law in 1964 somehow anticipating that there might be people who don't identify as one gender or another, or people who identify as a gender other than the gender they were born, and that they wanted to include them too. No. No. So, look, praise God. I mean, Donald Trump is off to a magnificent start. I was watching him as he was cutting the cake at the inaugural ball with his sword, and he broke into his dance with the sword in one hand. It was a great moment, an iconic moment. I noticed on the website, I made a copy of it on the website, a picture of Donald Trump pointing off into the horizon saying, "America is back." Praise God. I'm glad America's back, and I'm glad that now we have a president who has our backs. Hallelujah. I tell you, folks, this is something to celebrate. And I trust you all are celebrating it. Well, look, I don't have much time left, but let me mention. Oh, by the way, he also pardoned Milley and Fauci. Well, again, I don't know what Milley might have done to have landed him in the position where he might need a pardon at some point. But as far as I'm concerned, Fauci is a genocidal maniac. I mean, he spent so much time trying to debunk the notion of the Wuhan lab theory as the origin of the COVID, of the COVID-19 virus, and he did that and helped unleash hell on this country and on the world. Because he was in charge of the grants that the communist Chinese got in Wuhan. His fingerprints are all over it. So initially he's saying, oh no, it didn't come from a lab, it didn't come from a lab, it didn't come from a lab, it didn't come from a lab. Why would he be saying that? Because you financed the lab. Well, he doesn't have anything to worry about legally now because the President of the United States has pardoned him. That, my friends, is a travesty of justice. It really is. It is ridiculous. Fauci ought to be in jail. Well, look. We're off to a new day, and we can be very grateful to God for it, because he has indeed brought us from a mighty long way, through many dangers, toils, and snares we have already come, but his grace has brought us safe this far, and his grace will lead us home. So, here we are, on the precipice, just launching into the first few hours of the Trump administration, just launching into it. And already we see the stock market responding positively. Some of these illegal aliens being turned away at the border as opposed to all just being waved right on through. Just come on, no problem. Yeah, it's disgusting to think about. You know what, I think it might be more disgusting to talk about. And it's thoroughly disgusting as a way to live. Thoroughly disgusting. you know, with lies and attempts to control people and manipulate people and take over their children and tell them, no matter what you've heard, no matter what truth your parents taught you, no matter what truth you learned from the Bible, all that's wrong, follow me. I'm right. No, thank you. I'll take a Donald Trump presidency. Thank you very much. For the next 4 years. And I am so glad that Joe Biden is out of office. So glad. I can't begin to imagine, and I don't even want to speculate on the amount of damage that he would have done to this country had his power not gone unchecked. I think we would have been looking at untold suffering for our country, because I believe that every time Biden faced a challenge, he was going to favor some other country over ours. By the way, Trump pulled out of the Paris Agreement again. Good. Good. It's not worth the paper it's printed on. And besides that, with all this stuff, what do they always say? America's the problem. America's the problem. America's ought to lead the way. No, no, no. China and India are the worst polluters on the planet. They have multiples more people than we do in each respective country. And then you're going to tell us what we've got to give up? What we've got to stop doing, what we've got to start doing? No. No. God has given us this planet. We are to be stewards of it. We are to care for it in a reasonable, rational way. But we are not going to be worshiping Mother Earth. Period. I mean, forgive me. A lot of periods today, but we're just not doing it. We're just not doing it. And now we've got an opportunity with the new president, President Donald J. Trump. We've got an opportunity now to set the ship of state moving in the right direction and to get off the treadmill of depravity and depression and digression and oppression and social justice and DEI and affirmative action and all of this stuff that only serves to distract the society from its most important role, which is maintain its borders for the safety and security of the people of the United States of America. Work for us. Stop working for the world. Work for us. And that's what Donald Trump is going to do. Now Biden, I don't know who Biden was working for other than himself and his family. But I'm sure these people of this World Economic Forum that's going to be meeting shortly, might be meeting right now as I'm speaking. But these people, these elites, who all lecture us about the use of carbons and then fly into this Davos meeting apparently on literally hundreds of private airplanes. I mean, this is their hypocrisy. And thank God now the cover has been pulled off of them. They can no longer hide. They're out in the open, because Donald Trump is the next president of the United States, as now, not next, now, President of the United States has made clear that he's going to lay bare all of their errors, their lies, their mistakes. I mean, my goodness, we're talking about big tech. And what did the Biden administration do? They tried to get big tech to censor based upon what the Biden administration was telling them. And Mark Zuckerberg said even what they were telling us was often exaggerated. And we made a mistake to just... unskeptically go along with whatever the administration was telling us to do. And I'll tell you what, thank God for President Donald J. Trump. That's all I can say, folks. Thank God for him. Look, one other quick note. I'm going to be at NRB. So if anybody's planning to go, I hope you're there. I'll be hanging out with the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. I'll be hanging out with American Family Radio. And I'll be there for some time, a little bit of time, I think, with my good friend Kevin Freeman, the author of Pirate Money. I've got pilgrims and patriotism on my mind. The author of Pirate Money. So if you're anywhere near NRB, it's going to be held in Grapevine, Texas this year. But if you're anywhere near NRB, stop on over. I'd love to meet you and have an opportunity to say hello to you. Well, look, folks, we've got every reason to be elated. Now, let's not kid ourselves. We're not going to win every single battle we have, but we are going to win this war. So don't get discouraged because things didn't go right with this or that. And, well, what about that problem? And what about that problem? And this policy person over here or this group over there? Don't get hung up on all that. Don't get hung up on all. Remember this. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Remember that if God be for us, who can be against us? And we're gonna emerge from this thing with victory. And by the way, I will predict. I think, sir, Glubb has passed away. He wrote his book in 1976. But I will predict that if Jesus tarries, if Jesus doesn't come back as quickly as some of us would hope or like, that 250 years from now, America is indeed going to be that shining city on a hill and that last best hope for mankind. 250 years from now, we celebrate our 2076 anniversary. Not 2076. That's actually 300 years. 2026 is what I'm thinking. Because some people argue it's 250, some argue it's 300. The 2026 anniversary is what I was thinking of. That's 250. There's going to be many, many more to come. If Jesus tarries, many, many more to come. And America, if we pass on the legacy and heritage of our Judeo-Christian value system, and we continue to live by that as a country and reject all this exotic Marxist nonsense, this collective identity garbage that the left is trying to sell. If we do that, we will survive, thrive, and be a great nation for as long as we are here. That's my desire. That's what I want. I want my children and great-grandchildren to grow up in a country that they feel, wow, like I feel, like you feel. This is, thank God we are Americans and we live in this country. So listen, God bless each and every one of you. I've got to go. I've gone a little bit over my time, but I'm basically in keeping with the normal amount of time we spend on the podcast. I will be with you again next week. In the meantime, you know exactly what to do. Stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up. Because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit. Because we are on God's side. God bless everybody.